So I was saying that I get anxiety really easy. Jack knows that. And get physical. Right now I feel nauseous, so I'd like just to take a moment to pray. So, Father God, I just come before you now, and I just give you praise. Lord God, I just thank you. Thank you so much. Just thank you for who you are and what you've done in my life, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to honor you, Lord. You know my heart, and you know that is my desire. But also, you know me better than I know myself, and you know what I'm feeling right now. And you know the fear. We know that, Lord, nothing in you is a fear. So I ask him, Lord, that you just give me the peace, your peace, Lord. Just fill me with it so that I can give you all praise and glory properly as you would see fit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I will just give you a short little background into who I was before I come to know Christ. And that was, didn't know anything about the Bible or anything that it said or Jesus or had never been to church growing up. I don't think I ever remember a family that ever did go to church growing up. I grew up in West Palm Beach, Florida, and we kind of just did what we wanted to. And my mother died, passed away whenever I was 13 years old. And by the time I was about 14 and a half, I had went and moved with my father. We come to Kentucky. And by the time I was 14 and a half years old, I was so out of control that my dad just said, look, I don't know what to do with you. You got a Social Security check coming in every month from your mother's death. I'm going to buy you this mobile home and you're on your own. You pay the bills, you're responsible for yourself, but I can't do this. So that's what I did. 14 and a half years old, I was on my own. Had been ever since. So I didn't know anything about Christ or what it was to live a godly life. So I had nothing really to compare it to. So everything that I had done or knew was normal to me. So I was completely dysfunctional. I have four children. Started out pretty early. Got pregnant for the first time at 15. Had my first son at 16. Second one at 17. Had a daughter at 22. And my last one at 23. Two boys, two girls. They are now 18, 17, 11, and 10. About 10 years ago, during the pregnancy of my last daughter, it was a very, very, very dark time for me. Very, very depressed and suicidal. Anything that you can probably imagine being in bondage to, I was in bondage to. But it was a way of life to me. I didn't know anything different. Nobody had ever told me anything different, so I didn't know. And really, essentially, had no hope. About this time, my children's paternal grandmother, her husband, committed suicide. And her mother had died, who she was the sole caretaker for, so she was very distraught. She decided to go to church. She got saved. And when she got saved, she got saved. And so my view of Christians was from her. And she was a bit fanatical for me. And I thought she lost her mind because of everything that had happened. And just so how on fire she was, and so really didn't want any part of it. It was a bit too much for me. And then I'd met some Baptist people, and kind of thought they were stick in the mud. And so I couldn't find like a balance, but I believed with my mind that this was the way, the route to go, because I'd heard testimonies of people who had lived a life contrary, that was the way of mine, but contrary to the way of God, and then them being delivered from it, and then living a whole new life and being brand new. And I wanted that, but I didn't know how to go about it. So my first kind of encounter with a church was, it was at a Baptist church, and it was a revival, and some people had invited me there, and I went there, and I was convicted in my mind more so than my heart. I believed, because they were preaching hellfire and brimstone, you know, it was a typical revival, and our traditional, you know, revival, and I was scared. I knew that everything they were preaching was me, and I knew that if I died that night, that I would go to hell, and I didn't want to go to hell, but I didn't know I was a sinner. I just knew that if I died, I would go to hell, but I didn't know anything about being a sinner. And so I was physically affected by this and was crying and stuff, and the preacher said, "You come here right now." So he called me up in the middle of this revival, and so I didn't want to offend them, and I was embarrassed, and I was put on the spot, so, you know, and I wanted to be respectful, so I went to the front, and he said, "Are you saved?" And I said, "No, sir, I'm not." And he said, "Would you like to be?" And I said, "Well, I think so. You know, I don't want to go to hell." That's all that I knew, was that I didn't want to go to hell. And he said, "Well, we need to pray right now, and all you ladies come up here and pray with her." So we were literally down there over an hour praying, and I stood up, and I said, "I'm wasting all y'all's time." Just, I think I was waiting on a feeling at that time, but more so, I didn't know with my heart what my standing was, and that was that I was a sinner. And so that was my first experience with church. Very, very, after that, I was really just even more so depressed and felt kind of like a lost cause. I had my daughter in October, Grace. Ironically, had her in October of 2002, and November of 2002, I was arrested because of my lifestyle. I was with four buddies, and we was at a home, and a man was killed, so I was arrested for complicity to murder, and I went to jail. And that was November 2002, and so shortly prior to me going to jail, I kind of had a little introduction to the Christian lifestyle, but didn't really know a whole lot about it. I go to jail, and I'm there for several months, and I was on a court trip, and I met a man. The first man that I met sort of changed my life. The second one was Jesus, who totally just changed my life. But that man that I met in that court trip was Jack. And in our town, what they do is they just save on gas or manpower to pay the people. They just get as much people as they can in one car to transfer us inmates at one time. And I was being transferred from Russell County to Adair County, and where we were both housed. And I was in the back seat with him. And there was like four guys and me. And I was just sort of stuck on their laps. And the partial lap that I was on was Jack's. And I started to talk about a book I was reading, and I said that it was a boring book, and just to, you know, try to have some kind of conversation. And he looked at me and he said, "Do you ever try to read your Bible?" And instantly I started crying. And he shushed me and told me that he would like to write me. And He gave me a scripture, and I don't remember what it was, but from this meeting we started writing. I knew instantly there was something different about him, and I didn't know what it was. Now I know that it was Christ in him that was different. And I liked it, and he wrote really nice letters and took time to answer every question I had, and I was full of questions, and I would write 18, 20 pages at a time, and he would take time to answer each and every one of those questions. And it meant a lot to me that somebody would take time out for me. And he honored me in every way. And we wrote over the course of essentially 10 years. I was incarcerated for 9.5. And over those years, he directed me and pointed me to Christ over and over and over again. If I had a problem, the answer was Christ. If I was upset, the answer was Christ. It was always Christ, Christ, Christ. And I remember I would look for his letters and wait for his letters. I knew that it would take 3 to 4 days for my letters to get there. It would take him max a day to write me back. And then 3 or 4 days later, I would get a letter from him. So I knew about the time that Jack's letters would come. And one day his letter came, and I climbed up on my bunk and I was reading it. And those of you who know Jack's testimony, he got saved in Adair County Jail in the shower. I was right next door in the cell next door, but it was 7 or 8 years later. And I got one of his letters, and I was reading it, and I don't even remember what it said, but it spoke to my heart. God, through him, spoke to my heart. And, you know, I just, in that moment, everything, it just became personal to me that everything I'd ever done, someone was praying about darkness earlier in the opening prayer, and I was thinking to myself, that was me. It wasn't just that I lived in darkness, I was darkness. But I praise God for that light that come into my life, because the darkness and light cannot coexist. It's impossible. I was reading over his words, and it spoke to my heart. And through his words, God showed me what a sinner I was. And it became real to me that everything that I had ever done was to him. It wasn't to my children, though it was. It wasn't everything that I'd ever done. You know, I'd been a disappointment to my father. I'd done this to my brothers or family or friends or children. And these horrible mothers, what I thought that I was. It was so much more whenever I seen that I'd done it to Christ. And that he died for me, even though I was still doing these things. And it was real. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I stopped reading and I put the letter down and I said, God, please forgive me. I knew right then that that's what the key was. And I'm just so grateful that he revealed to me that I was a sinner that day, because that's what it took. And I don't think a person can be saved unless he is gracious and merciful enough to show us our state. And that is, we are in direct rebellion against him. And that's what he did for me to that day. And the change that come after that was remarkable, because I didn't even know how to read the Bible. I didn't even know how to look up Scripture. I couldn't look up Scripture. So he would send me these letters, and he always had Scripture to back it up. And I was too prideful to ask anyone, what's this Romans and these numbers mean? And so I just kind of figured it out of myself. And I realized, like, John was a book. And three, then the colon was, after that, was the verse. And then I got it. And so then I would take the time and I would look up everything that he wrote. But that's how ignorant I was. Had been in that church, and they tried to give, and no one had ever taught me the way. No one had ever preached the word to me. And it just took a man who was in the same position as me, an inmate, to take time out of his life. And I was just so grateful for that, because our friendship was built on that. And we wrote over the course of 10 years. And around the beginning of June, Jack wrote me a letter and said, they've calculated my time. I wasn't the calculating type. I did my time. I didn't know what my out date was. Didn't care. I didn't have support. So it was different, I think, for me. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had no idea. Essentially, I thought I was going to be homeless when I got out. Had no idea. And so Jack calculated his time. And he knew exactly when he was getting out, and he wrote me and told me. And I said, well, you know what? I think I should be getting out around the same time as you. I'm really happy for you. I should be out shortly after you. 2 days later, I got called to the office, and I was getting out June 29th, the same day as Jack. Jack and I served out on the same day at prison, which is really awesome. Several months later, we got married. I was in bed the other night, and I told him that I know everyone's salvation experience when they come to know Christ is really special to them. I know that. But somehow I can't. Mine is just so special to me, because I'm married to the man that led me to Christ. And that is just so unique, I think. And it makes our bond just that much more stronger. And to look at our past, what we were and what we did to who we are now, man, it's all God. It is all God. There is no way that I'm sure there's Jack would not be thinking 15, 16 years ago he would be sitting in a church with a wife and both being saved and speaking about the Lord and living the lifestyle that we do now. And then I can tell you that it is such a wonderful, wonderful thing to know him in a personal, intimate way. And I'm just grateful, because every single day I'm so blessed and aware of it. And I just thank you guys for listening to me and me giving this opportunity to share, you know, what God has done in my life. And I just thank you all.